Trees Across the Street at Daybreak. Number 1. August 17th, 6 a.m. The sea of air between me and the hemlocks across the street is so crystal clear. I see each needle right up to the leaders, 100 feet up, poking through the surface that keeps here, down here, and there, up there, where endless light begins. Just to the right, 3 leafy house-sized trees, all one ball now, flutter their lashes at the blue-eyed sky behind the aqua house, kind of catty-corner from the park, where Quinn lives with Izzy and Delilah. Such sweet people. Dozens of lavish gladiolas in her corner garden, so ravishing last month, wilting now from this late August heat. Number 2, August 19th. 2 side-by-side cypresses elide, palm against palm. The first trees I saw here, I mean really saw, while I sat on my couch on a summer's day just like this one, 4 years ago, looking out the window over my front porch, trying to figure out why anything is anything and nothing is nothing, without even one word left behind my lips, upturned with wonder, just like today. Each with a thick thumb, green as green gets, sticking out from the side and up, having waited patiently for decades to say every time I look, everything here will work out great for you today. If you just wait patiently, the way we waited here so long for you. Number 3, August 24th, just before dawn. Black-robed, cowl-hooded hemlocks file into pews, steepled hands lifted to high heaven, praying maybe to that one vague, wavy cloud engraved into granite gray, or the 3 crows that fly raucously by, 5 seconds and gone. As day breaks, I see more clearly. There is nothing here but the trees and me on opposite sides of the same street, waiting, breath abated, to be swept up in a rapture of nothing but dazzling light. Number 4, August 26th. Somewhere up there, air goes wild, whooshing. Down here, no leaf or needle wavers. Barely there, trees stand stock still so they won't be found and pushed around. After a while, a cool breeze slides down spines of branches and glides by my porch, soothing face and arms. Those soft places where what is me turns into what is not. Somewhere in the space between what I heard up there and what I feel down here, asleep became awake. Number 5, August 27th, 4:30 a.m. At first, it is hard to discern inky hemlocks on satin black sky. They appear slowly, bearded wise men hovering up like haze over a far horizon. As my eyes acclimate, wispy clouds evanesce into soft shawls on their sloped shoulders. Soon, A sprinkle of pinprick stars twinkle through milkweed flossy clouds, shape-shifting. When I hold my hand up to block the streetlight, more and more stars blink on in an instant. All these bits of light everywhere I look now. What dark proffers if you just sit and wait. I have no idea what more this day will bring my way. But if it ends right now, it is already quite enough. Number 6, August 29th, 5:17 a.m. I am so sad this morning. Good sad. The kind of quiet mind that's left behind when you finally tell yourself the truth. Charcoaly gray skies foreground all the black trees. I realize for the first time that I can see maybe 20 hemlocks from here. The same feathery shape, India ink stamped over and over. Closer, farther, smaller, bigger. Fringed pinnacles, flat and still, pressed into softest silk. All the ones in the park I write about every day, yes, and the ones down Garrison Street behind the gray house. But today, for some reason, I see 3 new ones, huge obelisks, I mean 80 feet tall, just up Bigelow Avenue, not 50 yards from here. And I swear, I never noticed them before. So distracted, I suppose, when I look that way by the house where Bob sits on the porch, smoking and smiling, a guy my age I met on the bus a couple of years ago, or by people walking by with their dogs. These huge, dark things, not lurking in the background like secrets, I mean, right there, street side, close enough to reach out and touch, all the while, invisible to me. A lesson in inattention, humbling, as it always is, when you know you've made way too much of little things, just because you want them that way, or they want you that way, like whatever love is when it isn't. Last night's Sunday night dreams, the ones where everyone who never loved me lines up week after week with litanies of bitterness. And then, this morning, out of the dark, some tall, clear things stood up straight right before my eyes. Not tiny, many-colored houses, gardenfuls of flowers, people coming and going, Bob smoking on the porch, but 3 towering hemlocks that grew up right on that corner way before I got here and will keep growing up long after I'm not. Preternaturally patient, not hoping, no, never, just waiting for that one day, the off chance I'd open my eyes and see. Like today, say, drinking my coffee, so happy to be so sad. Between the 2 tallest hemlocks in the park, a single star sparkles. I mean, actually sparkles. Those flickering flecks of light having made it all the way from the other side of the galaxy, through layers of wrinkly air, right down to my eyes. The other side of the light, once you finally see it. Always so tiny, pinpoint precise and perfect. The only light in the sky right now. My coffee tastes so delicious today. I hear the first soft coos of the collared doves that nest nearby, always soothing at dawn. Voices hard to describe. Mournfully joyous, maybe. Their day about to begin, just like mine, everyday ordinary in every way. Right where I am, alone on my porch, telling myself some true things about what love is when it isn't. Tears welling up in my eyes, good tears, every fiber of me, utterly happy, just to be so sad. Number 7, September 2nd, 5 a.m. Blurry fog softens everything. Trees flatten and recede. Could be clouds or mountains way, way off, next to nothing's sponge-dabbed on cleft slate. Every porch light, I count 8, is huge and haloed, many little moons. 2 hooded lights throw down pyramids of amber spears. A moist glaze on the seat of my chair dampens my pants. The rest of this morning, air will want to be intimate with my skin. And I will let it. Number 8, September 3rd, 5:50 a.m. The static stillness today is breathtaking. I mean, literally, I must remind myself to breathe and do it quietly each time, trying to keep the peace. I feel it first on the tops of my bare feet, the tiniest tingles of rain, more mist than rain, light as photons bathing a receptive leaf, electric. Somehow, after 10 minutes, nothing is even slightly damp. If I hadn't come out, I would never have known how much a part of me, the tops of my feet, can feel soothed, cool by next to nothing droplets fizzing up in still air. Even now, half an hour later, as I sit typing this, my feet remember having been ravished with such delicacy, so much more alive than the ones I walked out with, my whole mind down there with them, just above the floor, where I hope it will stay all day long, so astonished still by how deftly my feet were caressed this morning. I will need to keep reminding myself to breathe. Number 9, September 7th, 4:40 a.m. Such an eerie silence. Everything grayscale. Motionless as a photograph I somehow wandered into. Allowed now to stay, the only thing moving, just barely, far to the front, on the lower right, from your point of view, behind me, through the frame of my living room window, a vague shape lifting teacup to lips. I know there is air around me from how it cools my cheeks, but it doesn't move. Everything nearby presses in closer, the dense laurel hedges in my front yard, a dark ragged mass, fractal fringes glinting in sunlight, cobblestone porch pillars cast shadows twice their height across the porch. The low hum I hear must be pre-dawn traffic from the highway 3 miles north of here. It is that quiet. Quinn's porch light, centered in the scene, scatters flecks of light on honeysuckle climbing up the railing, spreads a dim pall over what's left of her garden a few yards in front to the left. To the right of the ghostly white garage door, an arrowhead-shaped shrub braces widely spaced branches adorned gracefully with tiny leaves. Its shadow on the weathered cedared fence behind, so closely matched, you have to understand ahead of time how space operates to know which is which and why both can't possibly occupy the same plane at once. The hemlocks loom all the way at the back, solid, flat, black. The two tallest framing the same single star I saw a few days ago. The farthest little bit of light the lens refracted today. Fixed this firmly in a shutter click instant, I begin to wonder whether I will ever be allowed to leave. Number 10, September 8th, 3:07 a.m. I don't think I am going to think anything today. I don't even think I am any longer. My nose is summer cold runny. Inside my head, 100 little me's pinball every which way, trying to fight it off, or just find safe places to hide. I woke up telling myself, I know exactly what you're trying to say, Paul, even when you can't. So do Bridget and Joe, who know everything I know and more. Maybe you do too. If so, I hope you'll say so, so I won't have to keep this going. I'm pretty sure Quinn, Izzy, and Delilah are still asleep, and I would be too, except I couldn't stand any more of my dreams. It is the middle of the night, yet there is light everywhere I look. The hedges, one huge moonlit tipped wave, suddenly stilled. If it crested forward to the porch, I would be swept away. A dozen stars hover above the trees in the park. When I cover the street lamp with my raised hand, dozens more flicker on across the street. If I could turn off all the house lights in the neighborhood, I know there would be many thousands more. Somehow, tonight, I can sense them and everything else that's missing. The shrub, its shadow, and the cedar fence are all one, twice yesterday's size. I have no idea how they reconciled or why. After just 10 minutes and a cup of coffee, my head is settled. One thing again. A moonlit sea is sparkling. A shrub and its shadow in full embrace on a cedar fence. A sky full of stars, so clearly there, even when they're not. And those hemlocks in the park across the street, the ones I started with a couple of weeks ago, so gorgeous in today's dark, risen up majestically into that star-speckled sky, still standing still, entirely themselves, even if because of all I've told myself about them, and for the better, I am no longer me. Number 11, September 9th, 4:08 a.m. Yesterday, at the food co-op, I bought a single peach, big as a softball, ready to eat ripe, you know, as soon as you put a thumb to it. Full coat of raspy fuzz, so when you cradle it in your hand, all those tiny hairs tingling your fingers. Your tongue already tastes its sweetness. Not yellowy or orangey or melony, but perfectly and only peachy. A platonic ideal. Until I dropped it as I put it on the checkout counter, denting it a little on the left side. A few hours later, I looked out my living room window at the stunning harvest moon snuggled up between the red barn across the street and a stand of tall trees. It's first night out, not quite full, so a little flat on the left side. If you took my peach and filled it with a million old-fashioned light bulbs, it would be exactly that moon. This morning, first thing, I look all over the sky on the other side of the house to see where the moon ended up. But the sky is dark, decorated simply with a smattering of stars. Orion, the Big Dipper, and lots of others. The tiny, bright things that come clear once the big light is off. Surprisingly, there is a light on in Quinn's front room, softly diffused through the drawn curtains, clean linen white. Maybe she can't sleep this morning either, wondering, as I am, what became of that perfectly peachy moon. In a few hours, I will cut up my perfectly moony peach before it starts to darken where I bruised it. Put it in my oatmeal with a handful of the small, tart, almost black blueberries I picked last week. The kind you can't buy in stores because they are small and tart and almost black. While I eat, I will remember last night's bright moon. And this morning's dark sky, full of stars. Number 12, September 12th, 6:08 a.m. The lamppost light in front of Quinn's house is a little sun surrounded by auras of spiky white light. Down the block, two streetlights stitch cones to rooftops with yellow thread. Someone walks mazily across the park, flashlight pointing down, looking for the way. I feel like I have entered my own book cover. A little rain last night washed fire smoke from the air, which smells so sweet. Wall to wall, tall trees all say over and over, "Stay small, Paul." So I guess I will. It is exactly 6:08. Dylan's Lonesome Freight, right on track today, to take me back inside. Number 13. October 4th, 3:50 a.m. It's all topsy-turvy today. Trees, 10 stories tall, just dead weight. Great poles upholding sky-high twig tips. Fleeting right nows, twisted bristles craving to displace bits of empty air. Wise enough, finally, not to look down. The bright yellow fan flaring from the street lamp down Garrison Street showers light streams iridescent with fog. Fleeting right nows flash flooding down, craving to cleanse bits of empty air. Wise enough, finally, not to turn back. This week my head has been bleak and blank. Old heartbreaks stunning once more. What I can't forget haunting days and dreams. Just dead weight, brown, all the way down to the ground. Pitch dark forever above the only light. I hope the topsy-turvy of this morning will teach me, finally, not to look down, not to turn back.